Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. I'm going to start by saying that this episode is special. It's special for me personally, but it's also a little different from most of the episodes that we've shared. And here's why. A lot of the guests that I've had on this podcast are people who are on the giving end of human kindness. They've started nonprofits or invested into people's lives in meaningful ways. But my guest today, while he is a very generous and kind person, is going to focus on the act of human kindness that he received, and it changed his life. Dave Anderson is a proud, lifelong Kansan. Rock chalk, go KU. He is a loving husband to his wife of 47 years, a father of three children, a grandfather of seven, and a pet dad to his sweet dog, Barkley. He retired from human resources, where his good humor and love of people helped him serve well. Beyond that, Dave Anderson is my uncle, and it's an honor to have him on the podcast today to share his inspiring story of human kindness at work in his world. Welcome to the podcast, Dave Anderson.
Hi, Jennifer.
Thank you for being here. And if it's okay, I'm just going to call you Uncle Dave because that's what I've called you my whole life, and I can't stop just because we're on a podcast. Is that okay?
Good.
All right. So for everyone listening, this is Uncle Dave, and I'm sure he would welcome you into his home, and you can refer to him as Uncle Dave from now on. All right. We're going to jump into your story, Uncle Dave, to this specific act of human kindness that you received. But first, we need a little bit of background. So can you tell us briefly about your journey with diabetes and how it affected your body?
Well, for the first, I guess I got diabetes when I was 27. Mm-hmm. And for the first, maybe 10 years, I don't recall, for a number of years, I didn't let it affect my body because I didn't pay attention to it. I would continue to eat whatever the boys ate, and not the boys at the table, the boys at the bar. And really didn't let it affect me, and I paid dues for that. I had to have my legs amputated. And that's been kind of tough at first, but well, those things you just get used to. So I really don't expect any more, and I don't expect any less. That's just kind of the way things are. But that's how it mostly affected my body, is that after having it for so many years, I lost my legs.
And did it affect other parts of your body? Any organs?
You know, it did. I mean, it affected every part of your body. Most vividly, I think, was the fact that I had to have a kidney pancreas transplant.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that story. How long were you waiting for a donor?
When I was just on the kidney list for a kidney transplant, the list was, I mean, I had it on a chart and I checked it weekly and called the dialysis nurse at KU Med to make sure they had everything they needed and got to know her very well. But I was waiting whatever X number of time that was until a doctor told me, well, you need to get on both the kidney and pancreas transplant list. That's a lot shorter. Mm. And I hadn't thought of that. And by gosh, I was on that for a number of weeks, not months, and got the phone call that we had a donor.
Wow.
And he was right. I mean, the list for just a kidney transplant is humongous. But if you can qualify to get needing both transplants, it was a lot quicker. So that was some great advice, and who knows if it wasn't life-saving.
Do you know how long those people are waiting that just need a kidney?
No, okay. I don't.
But a long time. We're not talking about weeks.
Longer than the other list.
Wow. Do you remember that phone call that changed your life?
Sure.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, we were in bed, and it came at, we were talking about it last night, and it came at, Nikki was thinking it was earlier in the morning, but I thought it was around 7, but it was sometime when we were still in bed. And we had a drill down between when we, because we knew we'd get a call, we just didn't know when. So we knew when we get the call, we'd call Joe, he'd take care of the dog. We'd get in the car and take off, and he'd take care of everything at the house. And they got the phone call and put the drill in place, and we were in out of the garage in probably half an hour.
How did you feel when you got that call?
Well, it was a dream come true, I guess is the simplest way to put it. I remember at the time I had, when I went to bed at night, well, at 7 o'clock every night, I'd have to go in and hook up to a dialysis machine. And I had to be on that dialysis machine for 12 hours. So we'd be in watching TV with the kids, and 7 o'clock would come, and I'd go to the bedroom, and Nikki'd help me get hooked to the dialysis machine. And I had peritoneal dialysis where they pump. I'd have a port in my chest, and they would pump a salty solution into your peritoneal cavity, and that cavity would absorb the sugars in your blood into that cavity. I'd have a couple of boxes of dialysis that would go through every night, and or dialysis fluid, and then it would drain that off into spare bags. And good old Baxter boxes. Baxter was the chemical company that made the dialysis, the fluid. Our bedroom looked like a warehouse. We have boxes of unused dialysis fluid, and in the garage would be empty boxes of dialysis bags that we'd carry out to the curb every Tuesday for the trash man to carry off. It was a production, to say the least.
That sounds like. So getting that call and knowing your life was going to change and you wouldn't have to be hooked up to dialysis for 12 hours a day. You could stay in your family room with your kids at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
That's a huge life change.
Yes, very big.
If you got a transplant, there's another side to that story, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us the other side?
Jesse was the young man's name. I believe he was like 17, and he was killed running across the interstate, going to get a hamburger with a bunch of his buddies and just not thinking, and was running up the on-ramp to I-470. And a car was going around the on-ramp, and he had just jumped out of some bushes going across the pavement there. And neither one saw the other, from what I can imagine. And he was hit and killed there.
I imagine that being on the receiving end of a gift like that is pretty overwhelming, right? You're holding both realities and feelings. This feeling of elation, like your life is about to change for the better, and then holding the sorrow of the fact that someone had to die in order to make that happen. That's a lot to carry. I imagine that being on the receiving end of a gift like that is inspiring in some ways. How has that inspired you?
Well, it's made me realize that life is a gift, and each day is a gift, and I can't speak for others, but I know all too regularly, I don't treat it as a gift. You get up and put your boxers on and go about doing your daily chores and don't stop and think how lucky you are. Mm.
That's a really good reminder. We get pretty busy, right? Forget to look around us at the gifts that we have. Dave, I love having you on here because the people that are listening to this podcast, generally, they want to make a difference. You know, they want to be a light in their world and make it better for others. Some people are a little bit stuck, like maybe they just don't know how to make a difference. Where do they start? And in this case, being an organ donor, that family, Jesse's family, allowed the gift of life. They allowed that to happen and for him to be an organ donor. And that changed not just your life, but you had told me before, several other lives, right?
That's true. They say the average cadaver can save seven different, or can impact seven wow. different lives.
Wow. And this is a way that is a really simple, it's profound, but it's a very simple act of human kindness. It's literally checking a box, right?
Right. On your driver's license.
So if people want to make a difference in this way as an organ donor, how do they register?
Well, there's two answers to that question. You can register on your driver's license application or renewal. But more importantly, that the only thing that trumps that is what your family wants to be done with your body. So you can say you want to have that done, but if the family says, no, we don't, that's generally what happens. So it's just a more of a family decision than a personal decision. Or both.
Yeah. So if you want to be an organ donor, obviously do that on your driver's license, but also have a meaningful conversation with your family members.
True.
That this is your desire.
Look, your family may not be there when people are looking at your driver's license and say, what do we do with this
right.
body? So both are important.
Right. Mm. You really got the gift of a lifetime. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I know that this is not an easy thing to talk about. So thank you for being here and for sharing your story. I know that it's something that impacts you every single day, even if you're not consciously thinking about it. But I think the challenge to us that you have brought is twofold. It's consider being an organ donor to save someone's life. And also remember that today is a gift. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, and look around and count all the good things that are in your life. When I look at your life, Uncle Dave, and I look at all the things that you have been through physically, I don't see a bitter man, which I think you could easily become in the things that you have gone through. But I see a man who is full of gratitude for second chances and for the kindness that you've received. And I'm so glad that you're still with us. I love you.
I'm sure it's, I love you too, Jennifer. I'm sure it's a much more enjoyable life instead of being bitter.
Yes. Yeah. That's our choice. Well, thank you for being here again. Love you so much. Take care.
Good to see you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love to hear your story, whether it's an act of kindness you've received or one you've been a part of giving. Just visit humankindnessatwork.com and click on Share a Story. You never know. Your story could inspire others to be a part of Human Kindness at Work in their world. See you next time.